morning. Today, and this is just again, what we're looking at is the Sermon on the Mount and the statements that Jesus made in the first section were about righteousness and how we need to live our lives in a way that isn't before men but before God, and that the depth of righteousness needs to be way down inside. It's not about what people see, it's about what God sees. And the same thing is true about our worship with God. That, you know, last time we talked about the idea of not doing things just to be seen in public, right? So when we talk about giving and acts of mercy, and then in prayer today, same thing. You don't do it to be seen. You don't, you know, if this is the only time we pray during the week, we're in trouble, right? Okay. So we're gonna talk about again this idea of how to pray, how not to pray, and not by, you know, my opinion, but this is so awesome that Jesus himself teaches us just very simply about prayer, right? So we're going to look at verse 5 of chapter 6, and he says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him." So the first thing, again, it's the same thing that he has said many times before, that our righteousness has to be something that's before God. Our prayer life is really before God. It's not, you know, sometimes people pray to be heard by other people. That is a terrible thing to do. I don't know if you know that. That is really, you don't ever want to get into the habit of thinking, "I'm praying so that you can hear me," okay? You really want to think about whenever you pray, whether it's in public or in private, you're praying to God, you know? I remember, you know, way back with Elder Redwine, and you know, a lady would come up. We had a little prayer meetings, and we'd get up at the altar, everybody praying. And someone would come snug up right beside you and start praying, you know, about, "Oh, Lord, I need my car fixed." And, you know, and they know the guy next to him's a mechanic, right? You know, "I think it's an alternator, but I'm not sure, Lord. Maybe someone has the wisdom to know that, but I, you know." And it's like, you know, don't do that. Don't do that. If you want to talk to somebody, go up and talk to them. But when you're praying to God. He's talking about here, don't, again, be an actor. You don't pray, you know, to show people that you're holy. That's what he's talking about. Again, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of the Jewish community, they were walking around and they would do it in public. They would do it out in the open to be seen by people so that people would say, "Oh, that guy is so religious. That guy is so spiritual. I really give you about a nickel for a guy that will pray on TV just to be seen on." Those guys disgust me. Again, it's the same idea. It's like I'm going to put out this spirituality, you know, on television, you know. And again, it really speaks against this text. This text speaks against that, I should say. That, you know, you don't want to be an actor. You never want to play around pretending with God. You can fool people, but you cannot fool God. You don't want to play around with God. You don't want to play around with spirituality. You don't want to play around with Christianity. You know, there's a day, remember those guys that stand before Jesus and they say, "But Lord, we did all these things in your name, you know, and you go, "Oh, I prayed for you. I cast out demons. I preached your word." Say, "I never knew you. I never told you." And it comes out of, again, this desire to please people, or desire to be seen, not a desire to follow and listen and look to God. We want to be real. we really want to be real. And if I was going to say anything, you know, within this context of prayer, it absolutely, prayer should be first and foremost sincere. It has to be real, okay? And above everything else, it has to be real. Don't just, you know, oh, it's time to pray, so I better think of something to say. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be real with God. I do not have set times of prayer myself. I'm not telling you can't. But if I did, I would do everything I could to muster up a real prayer between me and God. I don't want to ever be insincere when I'm bringing, you know, you or me or anything to the Lord. I want it to be, yeah, real. So he's saying, don't do it. Don't stand up. You know, for those who do it to be seen on TV or to be seen in public, those who do it in front of, you know, a church only, and that's the only time they pray, Jesus says, just like he did with the giving thing, he said, listen, you've already received your reward. If all you want is the applause of people and you get applause, that's it. When you stand before God, he's going to say, I have nothing left for you. You got your reward. Now go away. You know, we don't want that. I know. I mean, you know, really, we do not want that. We want the reward of God. We want the love of our Father, the peace of our Father in our hearts, and for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, as we sang that song this morning, you know. When you pray, then you go into your closet. I talked about this a little bit last time. But if you're going to be sincere, if you're going to be real with God, you know, praying in public, you know, I could be praying for you. I mean, to be seen by you, to you know, before you got, wow, what a that guy, he's quite a guy, you know. What a pastor he is. He prays for the sick and everything, you know. But when I go into a quiet little space, I got a new quiet little space. I have a weeping cherry tree in my backyard, and I notice there's a gap in it, so I put a bench under there. And I can climb inside underneath and nobody can see me there, you know? And so I can go in there and I can pray, except for Caesar, my dog. He sits right there, you know. But he doesn't bother me, which is good, yeah. And I can talk to the Lord. I can pray to God, and nobody knows except for God that I'm praying, right? And that's what Jesus says. He says, listen, don't go out and pray in public. Don't go out and you know, pray in only when people can see you, right? But go into that little space, find that little hole, find that little place where nobody knows that you're there, and pray to the Lord. When you do that, when you pray to God like that, you're making a statement of faith. You're saying, I believe in God. I believe in a God who can see through cherry trees and know me down at the very base of that thing, you know? I know God who can see me in my closet and see me praying in my closet when I go in the inner room and close the door, you know? I know that I serve a God who can hear me when I'm all alone at night and I'm laying down and just, you know, lifting up my heart to the Lord. I know that God hears me. And that's what Jesus says. He says, when you do it, then he rewards you. It don't be, don't, you see, the other thing is this verse 7 about babbling like the pagans. There's one article I read that said basically that you know, the pagans would string together names of God. Because, hey, you know, someone who doesn't know God, you know, like the New Age kind of folks, I don't know what they call them today, but, you know, they might, when I pray to the rock, you know, to the God of the rock, the God of the tree, the God of, you know, because they don't know God, and they're trying to find a name for God or invoke something that will appeal to whatever they think God is, and they just keep kind of aimlessly babbling things out like that, you know. Everybody, you know, people sometimes, you know, how long do you pray? When I was a young Christian, I used to actually time my prayers to know how long I was praying, because I thought it was really important to pray a long time, you know? And so I was like, okay, you know, and I'm sure I was like making things up, you know? I was thinking, what can I do now? What, you know, what's next? You know, sometimes, you know, when the Spirit's moving in your heart and helping you pray, you can pray for a while, you know? Sometimes not much is happening, and you need to be more quiet, right? Okay? I mean, really, because if it's sincere. Don't ever think about prayer as far as length of time. Don't think that you know, God needs you to pray an hour, half an hour, 5 minutes. You know, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer in just a minute, and I timed it. And if you say it kind of at a normal, slow pace, it's 30 seconds. It's 30 seconds. And I'll tell you, that prayer includes everything in heaven and on earth. And that prayer includes everything on that you need to really talk about. Now, I'm not saying, you know, and again, remember sincerity, remember that. But I'm saying, don't think God is entertained by us repeating things or us, you know, reading things out of a phone book. You know, it's like, I got to remember every person I've ever met in my life and bring that up. You know, that's not what Jesus is teaching us in regard to prayer. Like, God hears me because I keep talking. Do you know there are prayers I have prayed that are probably two seconds long, two words. Will come out of my heart, out of my mouth, you know. One of my favorites is, God help me, you know. Lord help me, please help me, you know. That is a prayer. If it's a genuinely felt prayer, that is a prayer. It's a real prayer. God help me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Give me grace. Help me to love right. You know, those kinds of things, right, you know. But this idea of somehow we need to spend a certain amount of time or we're going to say the same thing over and over or something, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Jesus tells us. And there's two ways that word can be translated. It can either be, repeating over and over or babbling. You just don't do it. Jesus says, why? Because God knows what you need before you open your mouth. You don't entice God to be your God by the amount of words that you say to God. God loved you before you said anything to him. God reached out to you before you said, God, I need you. You know? God was there before you were there, and God knows what you are. He knows where you are. He knows what your needs are before you ever open your mouth and begin to speak to him. He knows better than you know. I have heard one of the, again, these televangelist kind of characters. I have heard people say, well, if you want something, and again, for them, it's always something material. You know, if you want something, you have to pray specifically for it. And literally, there was a guy that actually told the story about how he prayed for a chest of drawers for his house. And he described the knobs, and he described the doors, and he described all the aspects of this thing. And this is what he's spending his time in prayer about. I said, oh, Lord God, forgive him for teaching people such nonsense. For teaching people such nonsense. That we should stand before a living God and talk about a chest of drawers. Oh my. With the world in the shape that it's in, we're going to describe a car. We're going to describe a chest of drawers. God knows what we need better than we know what we need, and he knows it before we open our mouths. Jesus goes on later, we'll look at this in a couple weeks, where he actually elaborates on that idea because he talks about, you know, the birds being taken care of, and if God knows our needs, he'll take care of us. So we'll elaborate that when we get there. So this is how you should pray. We all know this, don't we? Oh, just to be sincere, okay? Just tell God what, you know, from your heart what you need. That's it. And you don't have to make it long. You don't have to prolong it. You don't have to repeat it. God knew before you started. Okay? All right. So then this is the prayer. This is the prayer that we all know. This is how you should pray. This is, you know, some people call it the Lord's Prayer. We sometimes call it the disciples' prayer because Jesus taught his disciples to pray like this. Let's just say it. We'll use trespasses since it's easy. Let's just say it together since we all know it, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We add a couple things there, different translations do, but the points are there. If you look at this wonderful prayer, I see it in two parts. The first part is absolutely, totally heavenly. The first thing that we do is we realize who we are talking to. We are talking to God our Father, who is absolutely holy. So holy that his name is holy. You know, I mean, we're not just talking about him, but everything about God is absolutely different, unique, set apart, and we are not like him. When I'm talking to God, I'm not talking to someone who thinks like I do. When I'm talking to God, I need to be more ready to listen than I am to speak. You guys know I don't have that problem with human beings, where I tend to be more apt to speak than listen. I know it's a shortcoming, but with God our Father, he is holy. He is different. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the sky is above the floor of the ocean, that is how, you know, our distance in thinking and what have you is different. And when we come to him, we need to realize who we're talking to. You want to, and that's why I say, be sincere. If you have to stop and think for a minute about God, see, what I would say is we need to, if we're going to spend time, we need to spend time in meditation, thinking about God before we open our mouths. Most of my good prayers come when I'm looking at the Word. I'm studying the Word. I'm thinking about the Word. I'm just meditating, murmuring over it. And the thoughts of God come into my heart. And then out of that comes the prayer, you know. And again, it can be very simple, very short. But it's out of the thought of God. We need to think about God when we pray to him. To be very careful, again, of doing anything in a cliche manner where, oh, yeah, it's time to, you know, so we, you know, I have no place. I just don't understand prayers that are not thoughtful, prayers that are not genuine, prayers that are repeated thousands of times over again, and so much to the point that people don't even remember the words. When you even pray this prayer, it's good to stop and think about what you're saying and not just go through it. Because we all know it, and we could say it if you wanted to very quick and not give a thought to any of it. And that would be a shame, wouldn't it? So you know, in sincerity, so we think about our Father who is in heaven, his holiness, his power. And above everything else, folks, we want the kingdom of God to be here. One person's with me. That's right, you and me. That's right, we're going. No, no, the rest of it. But I mean, you look at all the trouble and all the sorrows and all the garbage of this world, so much so that Paul, again, he called it this present evil age. John describes it as an enemy camp to God that doesn't recognize God, doesn't want God, doesn't want to, you know, see God and hates Jesus and hates his disciples. I want that to end. I'm tired of it, right? I want it to end. I want to see the glorious kingdom of God. I want to see peace and joy and justice and righteousness. I want to see the light of God lighting up the whole of creation. I want a world that is so much a temple that no matter what you do and where you go, it is the best church you've ever had. That's what the kingdom is. And so one of the things we want to remember when we pray is that we are kingdom people. That, again, one of the things I really have a problem with the televangelists, the health and wealth garbage, is their religion is tied to this world. You know, God will give you this or he will give you that, and it's about, you know, junk that's going to disappear, and it's not about the kingdom of heaven. It's not about life with God. We should first and foremost be about being God's children and about belonging to his kingdom and the desire for his kingdom to come. If we love the world too much that we can't pray that in integrity and say, oh yeah, I really want God to come. I want all this to go away. Then we don't know God. We're not walking with him. So Jesus says, okay, disciples, how do you pray? Your kingdom come. Your will, let it be done just as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. That's literally how you would say it. Just as your will is being done in heaven right now, let it also be done here on earth, just like that. No more, you know, doubting who God is and that kind of silliness that's around us, right? That's the kingdom. So the first part of this is the idea of being kingdom-minded, kingdom people. And we carry that with us in the other aspect because there's a present focus, there's a present trouble, there's a present problem, but we also have to realize that our Father who is in heaven is the answer for our present problems. And it's not the fatness of the world we're looking at. It's the things he says, you know, give us our daily bread. Now, you know, some people want to say that's the Eucharist and stuff. It's not, because I tell you later on, he talks about daily bread for birds and for flowers. And he says, you know, if that's how God takes care of those things, isn't he going to take care of you? So it's an elaboration on this section of the text. It is about eating. Food. We need food. We need clothing. In this country, my goodness, you need car insurance and cars. And who, you know, I mean, you need stuff to survive, right? Do you think God understands the complexity of American culture? Do you think God understands, you know, our need better than we do, right? And so what does he say? He says, pray that God will meet your daily need. You know, and I have to admit that is a struggle for many of us, for me, to not sit back and say, yeah, okay, I'm okay for today, but what about next year? And what about the year after that? And what about when I'm about 90 and I need, you know, what then, you know? Our culture teaches us that, but Jesus taught us to say no. Jesus says, look to our Father and ask our Father, Father, take care of me today. Many times when financial reverses have come and trouble has come into my life, God reminds me. He just simply says, do you have enough for today? Yes, Lord, I do. Then be quiet. You know, no need to worry about tomorrow when tomorrow's tomorrow. You got enough today? You're okay today? Thank God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. Right? But he's not talking about piling it up and storing it. Like, again, he'll explain that later when we get to the birds. Forgive us our debts or our trespasses or our sins. The word used for debt here could easily be translated sin. Forgive us my sins. Forgive me my sins. And it actually doesn't say forgive me my sins. It says forgive us our sins. You notice this is a corporate prayer. Forgive us our sins. So I'm not only praying for me, I'm praying for you. Forgive us our sins. In the very same way, in the exact same way as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Forgive my sins in the exact same way as I have forgiven. Do I need to say that one more time? Forgive me my sins in the exact same way as I have forgiven others their sins. That was the first thing that Jesus elaborated on. He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus, like he said, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Folks, if we think that we can walk around harboring hatred and anger towards what people have done to me, you know, you're fooling yourself. Because God doesn't wink at that. That is a serious offense to God, to walk around hating, to walk around angry, to walk around not forgiving people. That doesn't stand before the Lord. You must learn to forgive. You must learn to have the grace of God in your heart. You must learn to have that peace of God in regard to others' lives. You have to be able to look and think in your heart and say, is there anybody that I think deserves my punishment? And the answer had better be no. Absolutely no. Is there anybody that I want to see God punish? And the answer had better be no. Because I'm serious. This gets down to the root and depth of who we are. If God has forgiven me an enormous amount of sins, right? How dare I hold some petty little thing that somebody did to me? Don't do it. Don't do it. Let it go. Let it go. And I don't mean just say you let it go. I mean, get real with it. Get down on your face before God with it. Say, Father, help me to be as merciful towards them as I want you to be towards me. Help me, mighty God, to let go of these crimes, these sins. I don't want to be an accuser of anybody on the great day. I don't want to, and you definitely, I'm telling you, you don't want to walk around with anger and hatred and you know, revenge in your heart. You don't want that. You just don't want that. You want grace. You want mercy. You want peace. And that only comes from God. I don't believe we can do this. That's why it's in the disciples' prayer. Why do we have to pray this? Because if we don't pray it, if we're not honest about it, we will walk around filled with rage and revenge and you know, just that kind of stuff. We don't want it. We want to let it go. Father, help me. Help me, God, to forgive sins just as I want my sins forgiven. Just help me, God, right? All right? And then don't lead me into temptation. God doesn't really lead us, I don't believe, into temptation. Don't let my foot wander towards things that are bad for me. Don't let my mind go where it shouldn't go. Don't let my mouse, if you know what I mean, go where it shouldn't go. Keep me, God, from the... Listen, this world is a present evil age. It's not the kingdom of God. And that's why there's so much temptation around. That's why there's so much trouble around. Now, this is translated by the NIV and from the evil one. It could be from the evil or from the evil one. Either way, in the Greek, it's a legal translation. I believe there's enough evil that the evil one doesn't have to spend a lot of time on us. You know, I'm serious. There's enough evil in the world that you know, we'll wander off by ourselves without any help from anybody else. So either way you want to translate it, just remember, God, keep me away from those things that would destroy my soul. Keep me away from those things that would draw me out. I think about, you know, Esau and how he gave up his birthright for a bowl of soup. And that's what sin does to you. He says, oh, come on, this will be good. Come over here. You'll like this. It'll taste so nice. Oh, come on, you're hungry. You got this passion. Come on, get that right now. And all it does is destroy your destiny. All it does is destroy your entire future with God. Lord, keep me from evil. Keep me from temptation. Keep me from the evil one. Keep me from evil stuff. Keep me from too much of any of this stuff, Lord. It's hard, I think, to walk with God in this present evil age. And if you look at this prayer, I mean, it covers our relationships with each other. It covers our walk in a broken, sinful world. It covers our daily needs. And I believe, you know, bread, yes. But, you know, if we need cars or if we need, yes, God knows what you need, okay? It also covers our desire and our passion for the kingdom of God and for God himself. There's not a thing in this prayer that I really need to add to as far as another category. It is a full, rich prayer. Jesus gave it to us. But when we pray it, and I think sometimes I pray it in those categories, I want to think sincerely about God and who I'm talking to. I want to be thankful when my bread has been provided and just say, Father, I acknowledge that came from you and nothing else provides for me like you do. I thank you, Father, and you know, just on through the prayer. But all those categories are so ripe, so full. Jesus gave them to us so that it would protect our soul, protect our lives with God as we walk through this present evil age, so we can indeed be the children of God and the kingdom of God. Let our prayers be real. Let them be sincere. We can pray this prayer in 30 seconds. We can meditate on it for 30 days, you know. But let your prayers be just real out of your heart. Let them be private. Keep it, you know, with God. God will reward us then. What will he do? He'll tell us, you're my child. You belong to me. You belong in the kingdom. You are a kingdom person, you know, because we do that. Yeah? Yeah. Well, let's finish as we did already once. I guess we could do this. Yeah. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together. But let's take a minute just to be quiet before we start. I'll start, but just be quiet. Meditate on some of the things that maybe you needed to pray in this thing. Some things that maybe have been left undone. So Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.